Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. It is Twitter Thursday. Dun, dun, dun. Twitter Thursday. I spent all day yesterday at Steelers camp. Drove up, did a two-hour show. Hung there for a while. Watched some practice. Wrote an article in the media room. Did another show. Drove home. That will be my last trip to La Trobe for the season. They are wrapping up at the end of the week. But I will be at Steelers Sunday game. I'll watch the whole thing from the press box and then do the post-game show. Some other Steeler things probably on the horizon. But today is Twitter Thursday, as I mentioned. And I'm just going through my timeline here. And whatever catches my eye, we're going to chat about. How about that? People love these shows, and they're fun. I love getting in touch, having you guys give me some feedback, too. Go Pats writes me, is Randy Moss a first ballot Hall of Famer next year, even if T.O. isn't? They were close to equal opinion players, in my opinion. Who's the better wide receiver? Well, let's preface this, and if you've been listening to me, you know it gets under my skin that T.O. isn't already in, because I think T.O. is one of the top five receivers that have ever lived. I mean, I think that's almost indisputable. Say what you want about him switching teams and cancerous and all that, you know, whatever. He was a great football player. That's a criteria. I think Moss was even a greater football player, and I think he's like the definition of a first ballot guy. I mean, if he doesn't get in the first ballot, I'll lose my marbles. I mean, Jerry Rice is the best. He's the GOAT, obviously. But I think Moss is too. I mean, who would you rather cover? Moss or anyone else that's ever lived? Maybe even including Rice. I mean, no disrespect to Rice. I mean, he's the GOAT. I just said that. I mean, he's a stud. But imagine covering Randy Moss. I mean, he had 23 touchdowns in 2007. I mean, he's the definition of a Hall of Famer. Fred Rogers asked me, is James Conner have a future as a number one feature back in the NFL? Interesting, by the way. I'm going to go down Steeler Lane here since Fred Rogers asked about James Conner. But it's St. Vincent's College. Many of you probably don't know this. But Fred Rogers, a.k.a. Mr. Rogers, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, he has a Fred Rogers Center at St. Vincent's College. And they use it for camp and... He's like a big deal at camp, is going back to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Is James Conner a future number one back? I tend to lean towards no. I know they love his toughness, his special teams ability. I think he's a better receiver than people think. He's obviously a banger and a power player. Conner will make his first appearance on Sunday, and he hasn't really practiced hardly at all either. So, he's the guy in Pittsburgh right now. Last week it was Josh Dobbs. He's the guy in Pittsburgh right now that everyone's most excited to see. I think he'll be a quality back, a good number two, but a number one feature back, probably not. And you're probably asking, you know, if Lev Bell leaves after the year, do they got their guy? I would tend to think no. All right, next question. Shane Jeanette Curtis. What's your take on the Minnesota O-line? My take is last year I thought it was the worst in the league, that it crippled the running game, and it was the worst running game in the league, and that it crippled the passing game because they couldn't protect, and everything had to be short and at the line of scrimmage and get it out quick. And Bradford does well with those things, and he's a highly accurate quarterback, but you can't play offense in the NFL like that. They went out and overspent on two, I'll say, average tackles. I thought Elfline fell into their lap and will be a quality player for them. And they should be healthier. So I think their offensive line goes from 32nd to 22nd or 23rd, 24th, you know, which is fine. You know, to me, that is good enough for them to execute offense. I think Bradford's a much better player than people realize. I think Cook has a legitimate Rookie of the Year shot, and there's been all kinds of buzz about him. And they got weapons, you know, Treadwell, Floyd, in addition to Rudolph, Thielen, Diggs, who are there. So I think their offense will allow I think their offensive line will allow the offense to operate well, be highly functional, and allow their skill players to do what they do, which I can live with, considering where they were last year. Arizona Raider asked me, will the Raiders bring in any players after cutdown day, perhaps a backer or two, maybe D-line or even DBs? Before I answer that, well, I'll answer it real quick. I certainly think that they should be in the market for linebackers, a veteran linebacker who's been around the league, you know, the Perry Riley type. And generally, that's a position you can usually find a veteran this time of year. Traditionally, their secondary, Oakland secondary, is very, very young. I think adding a veteran presence at either spot would be wise. But I don't know the names. I don't know who's going to get cut. But I would think that they will be in the market for somebody. But to expand on your question, and I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but, okay, for example, I'm going to see Falcons at Steelers on Sunday. And I'll be in the press box. Well, there'll also probably be 20 scouts, roughly, from other teams watching that game and taking notes and are there on assignment from their team, obviously. And they're not necessarily their pro scouts. It could be their Western College scout, their Midwestern scout, the dude that does the SEC could be at those games. In the preseason, that all hands on deck to go to those games. Why? You know, why are you having college scouts at Steelers Falcons if you're the Bears? Well, because you need everybody on staff as much as possible to get to those games. And what they're doing, like when I went to games as a Brown scout, was they would give me a list of 10, maybe 8 to 12 names on both teams that if they didn't make the team, is he better? Would we be interested? You know, I mean, if he gets cut, you know, you're not there watching Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman. You know, I mean, that doesn't do you any good. You're really concentrating on special teams, concentrating on late in the game, watching them pregame. So that's something that scouts are doing now, even the college guys. So I just want to know, just pull back the curtain a little bit here. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
The kids are playing and laughing. The house is filled with a life you've worked so hard to build. You're committed to protecting this life and everyone in it. Life insurance from USAA can help.
Call 1-800-531-LIFE for a quote.
All right. Paul Hodges asked me, love the Browns strategy, but when do you have to start seeing results to not get fired? 3-year plan, 5-year plan. Will they have the patience? See, I think that's the hardest part. I mean, this is an unprecedented rebuild. I mean, this is something that nobody's ever done. And in a way, it looks like the Jets and the Bills are trying it out, you know. And it's all about the draft picks, though. I mean, that's what the Jets are missing. I mean, to have gobs and gobs of draft pick capital, and the Browns have all these picks next year. Now the Bills do, too. The Bills have 2 firsts, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. But can ownership deal with it? Can the fan base deal with it? And if you brought in a new staff, I think it would be catastrophic because all the work you did building from the ground up, be like, I mean, and then they say, oh, we don't like these guys. That would be awful. I mean, patience is the huge key here. And trust me, I know better than anyone, the Browns traditionally are not a patient organization. And it's been the downfall of them. To me, it's been the biggest detriment about that team. And part of it's because I have the Steeler way of living, you know, growing up, that, you know, that continuity is key. But when's the cutoff? I don't know that you can say 3 or 5. I mean, if they're 0-14 and getting blown out every week, maybe you start to have that conversation, you know, or 0-8 and getting blown out every week, maybe you start to see that conversation. But like last year, I thought was a successful year for them because they had the worst roster you've ever seen. And they were competitive in a lot of games and just couldn't keep up. And some guys made some progress. I would have liked to have seen more progress from last year's rookie class, the Corey Coleman class. I mean, it would have been great if right now you could say, boy, we have three hits or four hits for sure out of that class of a dozen dudes they drafted. Still some uncertainty with that. But this class looks awesome. I mean, I think the smart way to do it is this thing growing in the right direction? And as it does, it'll snowball. It'll grow and grow and get to be a force. So I don't have a three-year or five-year whatever, but if you watch them for 3 years and they're still picking in the top five, that would certainly be a concern. But I just think you have to judge it of, are they getting better? Is this team still, is the arrow still going up and still going up and still going up? And that's not that difficult to see. My buddy Rubalicious asks, who is the MVP of the season? I'm sorry, Rubalicious, but we will have a prediction show. I don't know off the top of my head. Tom Brady sure comes to mind. Aaron Rodgers sure comes to mind. I don't know. Like I said, off the top of my head, who would be the running back I would pick? Either Lev Bell or David Johnson. Is there a wide receiver that could be MVP? That rarely happens, but could it be Julio or Odell or AB? Maybe. It'll probably be a quarterback. It'll probably be Brady. I mean, I think he's going to have a gigantic season. But that's really the first I've thought about it, is just reading your question right now. Joe Gear asks, who will be the first QB to be benched during the regular season? Tyrod Taylor comes to mind. Just because if they're 2-10 and they're going to move on from him anyways and they want to see what Peterman has. I mean, does Josh McCown count? No. Glennon, I think, is due to get benched, you know, when the season's shot. I don't think Alex Smith will get benched. I'm expecting Deshaun Watson to start the year. I'm expecting Kaiser to be the man, so I'm not going to count those ones. Who else? I mean, there's a lot of situations are pretty clear that, I mean, to get benched would be really brutal. I mean, if like Miami doesn't have a young guy, you know, you wouldn't bench Cutler for more, probably, unless he just totally doesn't work out. I mean, if the Redskins season tanked, do you bench Cousins? I highly doubt it, because it's not like there's an early round pick waiting in the wings. So Tyrod Taylor screams benching to me, just because I think that team is building around a Peterman-type quarterback. I mean, all those weapons they brought in are slow slot guys. They're not big play Sammy Watkins, Tyrod Taylor type of players. So, there you go. What do we have here? Luke Undlin asks, do you think Wilfork could be one of the last of his kind? Will football ever evolve far enough to make true gap nose tackles obsolete? I don't know if they'll ever be obsolete. I mean, like, Damon Harrison just got a lot of money, and he's not listed as a nose tackle because they're a 4-3 team. But him and Wilfork and Hampton all walk in the room together. They're birds of a feather, dude. You know, so Brandon Williams for the Ravens. I mean, those guys that are really good at what they do are still making money. There's still a role for them. But they just play so few snaps, you know, that if you're only playing 33% of the snaps, but, you know, you still got to think about it. If Vince Wilfork were at the U right now as a junior, they would gladly take him, right? I mean, he would still be a highly productive college player. And he would eventually come out in the draft, and he probably wouldn't get picked as high as he did, but somebody would still draft him, and you'd bring him to camp, and nobody would move him, and he'd beat the dirt out of your center, and then you'd be like, well, we can't cut this dude. He's really good, and short yardage will use him. First and 10 will use him. Maybe you can get to the point where you put a Wilfork in the middle of a defense and then just have a lot of light personnel around them. I don't know. I mean, I just think if you're really good at something, if you're only a great downhill run-blocking fullback, you still have a market. It's just smaller than it was. So, Yosarian asks, how do you think the Niners will do this year? Lots of new players, a new system, a new coach, and what's C.J. Beathard stealing? Again, this is a really similar situation to what I said about the Browns. I don't think they're going to win hardly any games. When I put out my power ranks, and maybe I should do another one of those soon, they are going to be 31st with the Jets as the only one worse. I think their roster is really depleted. But I do think they very much have a plan in place and the right people to implement it and the right contracts to stick with them for 6 years or at least give them time. I don't think their quarterback's on their roster. They apparently like Beathard more than I do. So maybe Hoyer's the answer to who gets benched first. You know, when you're 1-8, you put Beathard in there at least to know whenever you're with, so that you're on the clock with the second pick overall, you can take a quarterback. You know, or do you love Beathard? I mean, I think Beathard's a lot like, here we go. Remember when the Browns took Cody Kessler? Everyone's like, dude, that's too early for Cody Kessler. He's, you know, not that great a prospect. And he isn't, but he's really safe. And I think Beathard has some similarities, you know, because he's very heady and he can always be your fallback plan. You know, like RG3 didn't work out, so we can always hand the ball to Kessler. Kizer doesn't work out, we can hand the ball to Kessler. We know what he is, and he'll be our 10-year backup slash spot starter as we try all these other things at the position with the hopes that one of those things eventually hits huge. And it probably will if you try enough. You know, and the Browns have the capabilities because of their draft picks and cap space to try a lot of things. So I think Beathard is a lot like Kessler, which for where both teams picked him is maybe high in a vacuum. But if you continually have to go back to him, you know, here and there or when injuries hit and they've been with the team for 10 or 12 years as your backup and they're better than Matt Cassel, then it's, you know, that pick made sense in the end. So I think that's where they're at. And again, they just need to look like they are getting it, that the system's implemented, that the arrow's going up. And that's easier said than done. All right. Sylvester Valderrama asks, most football fans expect the Jets to be the worst offensive unit, but which team do you think would have the worst defensive unit? It's a good question. It's a real good question. Two teams come to mind that are respectable franchises in Indianapolis, although I think they took a step forward with the new GM, and the Lions, and I think those two were as bad as any defense in the league last year and lack star power, lack depth. I think those are two bad defenses. The Niners should be better, especially on the D-line and maybe with Foster and Bowman in the middle, but I still think they're in the conversation. I'm scanning the divisions in my head now. I will not put the Bears in that category. No one else in that division except Detroit. The Saints are always in the conversation. You know, I mean, I expect them to be better, but they've already had some injuries, and they historically have not played exactly great defense in New Orleans. How about in the East? Philly, no. Washington, no. Giants, certainly no. Dallas, probably not. AFC, could the wheels totally come off in Buffalo? Maybe. And it could end up being a bad defense. I don't think it'll be the worst defense. Like, the Jets are pretty good on D, especially their D-line. They have some safeties now. But by week 10, if they're on the field the entire year, could it look like they've become one of the absolute worst defenses? I could certainly write that script. That would be a very believable script. Miami, New England, no. Pittsburgh, no. Cincy, no. Baltimore, certainly no. The Browns, I don't think. I think they're taking a mother may I step forward on defense. Peppers, Garrett, the linebackers, Kirksey and Collins, Shelton, still Joe Hayden. safety play was so, so bad last year. And it wouldn't shock me if their first pick in the draft is that stud coming out of Florida State, by the way. But they're not going to be a top 15 defense. I think that's pretty safe to say. Then you go to the South, certainly not Houston, not Jacksonville, not Tennessee. But Indy's going to be in that conversation. Could the Raiders be in that conversation? That would be catastrophic. That would almost take a Khalil Mack injury. But I don't think they're going to be a top 15 type defense. So that kind of answers it. I mean, the Colts and the Lions are the ones that kind of jump to the top for, you know, teams that shouldn't have awful defenses at this stage of the game. All right, good Twitter Thursday, folks. We'll do another show tomorrow. I'm going to watch tonight's game. I'm sure we'll talk about that some. Over and out.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.